Okay, I have a request that all kids in the River Kids age group go and sit with the person you drove here with. Okay? So all the River Kids, guys back there, hey, hello. Hello, I want you to come and sit with your parents, okay? Or your grandparents or whoever you rode with. Revolution, you're old enough to handle yourselves back there. I'm trusting you. But let's have the River Kids come and sit with whoever they rode in the car with, okay? I just think you will get more out of the message if you are doing that. Kylie, is Kylie looking for you? No, she knows where you are. Okay, there she is, way over here, Kylie. And then I want everybody to do this. Put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to receive whatever you have for me today. Amen. I love Family Worship Sunday. I love Family Worship Sunday. And I think part of the value of it is that we can sit together as a family and worship the Lord and learn about Him. And so I did our note page today on a little different thing. Our sermon note page is on a heart, because we're finishing out our heart talks today. So Ken, maybe you and Chris could help me pass those out, if you don't mind. Those are your sermon note pages, okay? And if you want to write scriptures on the back, there's plenty of room, or underneath. But I tell you, I believe I'm sharing a couple of little secrets with you, heart secrets, that if you'll take those and let those come into your heart, they will help you throughout the rest of your life. They're really important. So I encourage you to take those and really meditate on them and use them today as we're studying the scripture together. Everybody get a heart. Adamo has a heart. I see it. You have a heart. Good job. You can put this on your mirror when you get home, or on your dresser, somewhere special, on your refrigerator, on wherever, in your car, and remind yourself of what God has for you in this little heart today. And before we go any further, I want to honor anyone. If any of you have ever had a family member or a friend who lost their life while serving our country, would you raise your hand? Anybody know someone? Okay, over here. There we go. There's several. If you know someone who lost their lives serving their country, I just want to pray a blessing over you today. God, I thank you for the greatest sacrifice that could ever be made by these friends and family members of people who have their hands up right now. I pray a blessing on those who remain and suffer through the loss of that. Lord, even years later, they feel the pain of that loss. And so we want to honor them, and we want to honor the people that are still paying a sacrifice by their absence today as we celebrate Memorial Day. We don't want to forget the real reason for it, God. And so I just pray a blessing over these people, and I ask you to bring comfort and healing to anyone who's hearing my voice, even online later, who might have lost someone, Lord, while serving our country. And I just pray that you would comfort them in the way that only you can. Bring your healing to them. And thank you for their sacrifice. Amen. I don't want to ever forget. I don't want to forget. Okay, so heart talks today. Heart talks. Going to finish this out for the month. And everybody got a heart, right? Everybody got one? Okay, good. There's two secrets on this heart that I have learned and I'm still learning. And I felt like I just wanted to share them with you today. The first one is, and this is such a huge secret. It's such a huge part of my life. And I just want all of us to remember it, to remind each other of this. And that is, God made me so He knows my deepest needs, desires, and potential. God made me. If you accept that God made you, then you have to remember that He knows even better than you or better than anyone else what your deepest desires, what your deepest needs, and what your potential is. Okay? Let's look at Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 in the Message version. I want to share that with you. I'm going to use my little phone here to pull that up because I'm using two different versions today, so I didn't really want to have two different Bibles because that can get pretty confusing. Maybe this will be still as confusing. I don't know. We'll see. Isaiah 55. Look it up if you have your Bible. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. We are going to have it on the screen today, though, so if you don't have your Bible or your smartphone with you, then you can look up on the screen. Just lost it. Okay, put it up there, Ron. Help me out. My backup plan. My phone's not cooperating right now, of course. This is God talking, and He says this. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree. That means I said it, and it's true. Okay, then it says, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seeds for the farmer and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. God here is saying, look, I know you better than you know you. And the way I do things may not always line up with the way you think things should be done. How many of you have experienced that? Just this week, I looked up and I go, really, God? Is this the way you want to do this? Because this doesn't make sense to me. Logically, this does not fit into my paradigm. You hear me? Yeah, you know. But then I have to remind myself that God's way of thinking is higher than my way of thinking. It way surpasses my understanding. And then I remembered the scene from Chronicles of Narnia when Lucy and who's the other girl? Susan. When Susan and Lucy are looking at Aslan on the stone table and he's been killed and he's been shaved and he's tied up with ropes and they come over and they're like, and then Susan says, he must have known what he was doing. And that phrase popped back into my head when I was going, God, really? He goes, don't worry, I got you. I know what I'm doing. How many of you heard the phrase, the heart wants what the heart wants? How many of you have said the phrase? And usually it's an excuse to do something that you want to do that you know you should not do. The heart wants what the heart wants. How about this one? Do what's best for you. Have you ever heard that or said that? How about this one? Do what makes you happy. In other words, forget everybody else. Do what makes you happy. How about this one? Only you know what you really need. And how about this one? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. All of those, they can be true and they can be false. Because you know what? There have been times my heart has betrayed me. My heart has said, go this direction. And God said, no, go this direction. And so, yes, I will say follow your heart, but only if your heart is following God. Can I give that little caveat to it? Follow your heart, but only if your heart is following God. Because God is not going to tell your heart to do something that is against what He's already said in His Word. He's not going to. He's not. That would be contradicting Himself. And we have to come to a place where we trust God. this verse, these verses, that the way he works is different from the way I work. The way he thinks is different from the way I think. It's like this. Anybody know what this is? It's a phone, right? Smartphone. I was slow in the process of getting a smartphone, mostly because I didn't want to pay the $30 a month data charge. Anybody else there? Yeah. But I finally broke down a year and a half ago. I got a smartphone. Had one before that, was just the old fashioned flip, you know, or slide or whatever. So I have a Hershey's Kiss here for anybody who can tell me one thing that I can do with my smartphone. Come on. Okay, just one thing. I can get an app. Okay, very good. Come and get a kiss. This kind, please. They wouldn't be coming up and volunteering if it was the other kind, right? Okay, what else can I do with my smartphone? I can what? Paint. I can make art with my phone. Absolutely. Come and get a kiss. Okay, right here, Jack. I can text. I can send a text or receive a text. Come and get a kiss. Kylie, I'm just going to put them right here. Huh? I can watch videos with my smartphone. Absolutely, I can. Yes, okay, now over on this side. We'll hit this side over here. What, Andy, what can I do with my phone? One thing. I can call people. Thank you. That took a long time to figure out, but I can call people. Come and get a kiss. Good job. William, what can I do with my phone? I can read books on my smartphone. Did you know that? I can read books on my smartphone. Thank you. Back here. I can read the Bible. Yes, I can. If the app will cooperate, I can. Yeah, I can read the Bible. I can talk to Siri. Not with my phone because it's not an iPhone, but I do have a voice on here, but I don't call her Siri. It's a guy voice, but he's really cool. Yes, I can say, find a restaurant. Yep. Okay, go for it. Yes, I can play games. I love my games. Yes, you can see. I have an app right here. Xbox, baby. I like my games. What else can I do with my phone? I can take pictures. Very good. What else can I do with my... Play music. I love my music on my phone. Yes.
What? Skype.
I can go on Skype. Absolutely. What else can I do with my phone? Are we out of ideas, Tia?
Social media.
Facebook, Twitter, and all of the above. Yeah, all of that. Stuff. Absolutely. What else can I do with my phone? Search the web. I can do anything. Yeah. Internet with my phone. Absolutely. Come and get a kiss if you want one. Tia, you don't want a Hershey's kiss? Okay. What about? I can what? I can do homework. If I had homework, I could do it on here. My kids can do homework. Absolutely. Come and get a kiss, Jenna. Good job. What about here, David? I can use the GPS, which I frequently need because I am directionally challenged. Yes, I can use the GPS. Come and get candy if you want it. How about this one? What if I use my phone as a hammer to put a nail in some wood? Would that work?
No.
Well, sure. I could put the hammer in, but what would happen to this? It would be broken. What if I use my phone as a stepping stool? Can I do that? Yeah, but the phone's going to be toast if I do. Right? How about if I use my phone to wash my hair? Because it's got a really good corner. No? I mean, I could. It would ruin the phone. And it won't work anymore. That's right. And here's my point. We, each one of us, is like a smartphone. And if we go to the guy who created us, he'll tell us what apps we can use. And he'll tell us, well, you can do that, but it's going to hurt you if you do. So I would recommend that you not. But some of us were like, we don't want to ask him. We want to do our own thing, baby. We want to make our own path because only I know what's best for me. And he goes, well, you can use your phone as a hammer if you want. Going to get some damage in the process. Are we going to trust him or not? Here's the thing. I see every one of you as having limitless potential, limitless number of apps that can be applied in your life, limitless. But I know from experience, and I'm still learning because I haven't arrived yet, that every time I follow His way, it brings me joy and peace and good things. And every time I follow my way, if it's opposed to Him, it brings me pain. Now, does that mean I always do the right thing? No. And the beautiful thing is God has grace. He can fix the phone even if you use it to wash your hair. He really can. It's called forgiveness. It's a great thing. But I think it's better just to go to Him first and ask Him, where do you want to do with this? What do you think, God? You know my heart better than I know my heart. So what do you think about this? And let Him lead you. Then in Ephesians 2, 7 through 10 in the Message, it tells us this. Now God has us where He wants us. I love this version of this passage. With all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Is that fun to think about that verse right there? Now God has us right where He wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all His idea and all His work. All we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does, the good work He has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. I love that. It's his thing, you know. All we have to do is cooperate with Him. That's it. That's all He asks. I believe obedience is a sign of trust. I don't think it's about anything else except trust and love. I really don't. I think I when I obey God, it's because I love Him so much and I trust that He knows better than I do what's best for me. That's what it is. It's all about love and trust. And I'll tell you guys, there have been plenty of joys in my life from following this one. And there's been pretty much every regret I've ever had in my life has to do with not doing this one. Not remembering that God made me and He knows best what my desires and potential and needs are. I never saw myself becoming a pastor. Never. Never did I imagine this for myself. But God did. You see, as I trust Him, He says, oh, I got something really good for you. You're going to love it and you're going to be good at it because I made you to do this and you didn't even know you had this app inside of you. Isn't that cool? You, every one of you, have all of those unknown apps inside of you that as you surrender to God and His ways and you follow His heart, He will show you crazy potential. He will show you how much fun you can have following Him. How much fun it is to let Him put the apps on. It's fun. Then the second secret in the heart is where I invest my love, I invest my life. I believe every one of us is created with a deep desire to make a difference in the world. I really do. I believe every single one of us has this deep desire to want to make a change in this world for the better. And I think if we invest our love into the right places, we can do those things. We can make those changes. Where do you want to invest your life? It's up to you. God lets you choose. Where do you want to invest your love? Where do you want to invest your life? If you want to make a lasting difference in this world and the next, investing your love into eternal things will do it. Play that little video clip for us, Ron, from Mumford & Sons. Any Mumford & Sons fans in the room?
In these bodies we will live. In these bodies we will live. die. When you invest your love, you invest your life. In these bodies we will live, in these bodies we will die. When you invest your love, you invest your life.
Good words. Awake, my soul. You were made to meet your maker. I think there's a whole lot of people wandering around in the world today, and they do not know why they feel so dissatisfied. They don't know why they feel so, is this all there is? I think it's because we were all made to meet our maker. And if we can meet our maker, we can live up to the full potential that he has for us. We can be fully loved in the deep places of our hearts. We can be steady. We can go steady with God. That's what I was thinking of when we were worshiping this morning. I'm like, God, thank you for being my steady. Really? I mean, that's what he is. I love that. You were made to meet your maker. In Psalm 107... There's this whole chapter there that talks about four different groups of people. The first group was lost, hungry, thirsty, and in trouble. Think of yourself in any of these. Lost, hungry, thirsty, and in trouble. The second group sat in darkness, depressed, held captive by misery. Anybody in that group? Don't raise your hand. Group three, they were just rebellious and selfish and foolish, and they were facing death. And then the fourth group, they were travelers. They just wanted to seek fame and fortune, but they encountered some unexpected storms when they did. And every single group, at some point, they said, Lord, help. Every single group, they were like, Lord, help us. And then the verse that comes up four different times is this: let them praise the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things he has done for us. Every single group, no matter if you were lost, if you were rebellious, if you were a traveler, whatever the situation is, if you can cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, he will. And then you find an app inside of yourself that brings you more joy than you can imagine. And that is praising the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things he has done. Something in you wakes up when you do that. Something in you finds its place. Something inside of you goes, oh, this is what I was made for. This is it. This is what I was made for. Where I invest my love, I invest my life. I want to invest my love in God. first and foremost and most importantly. But I also want to invest my love in my family. One of my biggest regrets in life, and I can't change it, but I'll share it with you because maybe it'll keep one of you from making the same mistake. One of my biggest regrets in life is through high school thinking that I needed to invest all of my love into my high school friends because they were going to be with me forever. Lilas, love you like a sister. Anybody remember that from my generation? L-Y-L-A-S, love you like a sister. And I had a whole bunch of sisters in high school, and I have not seen, I've only seen one of them in the 30-20 years since I graduated. I invested a whole lot of my love into those people, and they are not, I mean, I'm sure they're good people and all. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And you would have thought I would have learned my lesson, but then I went to college. Yeah, did it again. Yeah. Poured all my love into my college friends. I have talked to more of them through Facebook mostly. Here's the thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't love your high school friends or your college friends, but it was very disproportionate for me. I really forgot about my family during those years for the most part. I slept and ate there, but beyond that, I didn't invest much of my heart into them. This is a terrible story, but I'll share it with you. One Mother's Day when I was in high school, the cutest guy in four counties, I'm not kidding you, asked me to go with his family to the park for this cookout thing. And I was so, oh, he asked me out. Every girl wants him to ask her out. He asked me out. So what did I do? I go to my mother on Mother's Day and I say, Mom, do you mind if I go with so-and-so and his family? And now looking back, I can remember seeing the hurt in her eyes, but she never, that's what moms do. She goes, sure, honey, go ahead, have fun. I regret it to this day. She doesn't hold it against me. That was a stupid, stupid place to invest my love. Stupid place. Where you invest your love, you invest your life. Think long and hard about who you invest your love with. What does love look like? I have it there in parentheses. Time plus truth. Some of you, maybe you're teenagers or your kids, and you're wondering why you don't feel so close to your family. Are you spending time with them, and are you being real with them? Because if you're not spending time with them and you're not being real with them, you're not going to feel close to them, and they're not going to feel close to you. That's just the way it is. So if you want to invest your love, understand that means time and truth. Time and truth. Love gets invested. I just encourage you to think carefully about where you invest your love. I think that's why in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, Jesus says this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying, where you invest your love, you invest your life. I just want you to live up to all that God has for you. So pour out your love on your maker. You were made to meet your maker. You were made to know your maker. So pour out your love on him. And then as you do that, you're going to learn how to love your family and your neighbor as yourself. And then one more scripture I'm going to throw at you, which I didn't give to Ron, so I'm hoping my app will work this time. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 in the message. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 in the message. It usually works really well, but I don't know. Today it's not cooperating as much. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this, Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life. Here's the part I want you to hear. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Say that. My real life is hidden with Christ in God. If you want to really live, that's where you find it. With Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Oh, is that exciting? Oh, where you invest your love, you invest your life. God made me, so he knows better than I do and better than anyone else what my needs are, what my desires are, and what my potential is. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's got it going on, okay? Trust him. We're going to go into communion now, so if the ushers would start serving the elements. Parents or grandparents, it's up to you whether the kids who are with you will take communion. We do practice open communion at Oak River, so if you're a member of the body of Christ, you are welcome to participate. And you don't have to be a member of Oak River to participate, is my point. And so we welcome you to take communion. And I just encourage you today, as you take communion, to think about these two things, these heart secrets we've talked about. And if God's showing you any area where he wants to, you know, up your app, where he wants to increase you and bring destiny to you, then just surrender to him and then make a decision to invest your love into him and to your family and to others. Amen. The bread represents Jesus' body that was broken because he was so in love with us. I heard this week, God didn't need to make you. He didn't need to make you. He wanted to. Isn't that good? He wanted to make you. And this little cracker represents the fact that he chased us down in order to have time with us again and have fellowship with us again, to restore relationship with us. God, we thank you for what this represents. We thank you that it represents a God who's willing to chase us down and sacrifice his son so that you can be with us because of your great love for us. So we thank you for that, and we remember that as we take the bread together. Then this juice represents that Jesus was willing to give it all. He didn't leave anything out. He gave it all for us. Just like the people that we had raise hands who've known friends and family who've lost their lives in a war, he gave it all in the big war. The war on sin and lack and sickness, and he gave it all so we don't have to. And so, God, we thank you for this juice and what it represents, and we remember the sacrifice, and it doesn't make us feel guilty. It makes us feel joy. It makes us feel unbelievably loved, God. And so we celebrate that and we remember it and we thank you for it. Let's take the juice together. Amen. Amen. Have a good week.